Well, you're probably glad that this is the end of the series, because that means that's the last time we're singing a verse of Wonderful Words of Life for a while. But I hope that you've enjoyed the series. We've been talking for a while now about living life in Christ. We've been talking about coherence, how when we know that we're not an accident of creation, but in fact, a purposeful creation created by Almighty and Living God that makes a huge difference in the way we live our lives and how much we can enjoy our lives knowing that we're not just an accident, but we're actually made in the image of a wonderful God. We have hope. We talked about how believing this and believing in Jesus Christ, His Son, the hope that we have because of that great gift that God gave to us, this hope not only for eternity, and that's a wonderful hope, but also this hope that we know that no matter what happens to us, God is on His throne and He can make a way in the desert. We know this because we love our God and we know that He's a God worthy of being loved. Forgiveness, of course, is such an important topic. What is life if there's not forgiveness? We all need forgiven and we all need to forgive others. And I hope that you're still in the practice of forgiving, even though that sermon is over. Agency, we talked about how we need purpose in our life. Even our daily task of going off to work, right? We talked about how everything that we do, if we put it in the hands of God, has purpose and long-term meaning. And then we talked about connection last week, about how we love one another, we forgive one another, we're able to move together, enjoying the connections that God puts around us. And today we're talking about blessing. And really, if you think about the whole series is about blessing. It not only blesses us when we live these ways, but it blesses others. And so this morning, we're rounding up the series with this blessing, the blessing that exists when you're living in Christ. So today, I want to go to one of my favorite scriptures, and boy, I have many of them. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, Romans 8, Romans 14, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 13, Revelation 21. I could just go on there. But I love Jesus in Matthew 19, when He goes to them and He blesses the children. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so He could lay His hands on them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them." But Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And He placed His hands on their heads and blessed them before He left. You know, I can only imagine how busy Jesus must have been. Can you imagine how busy He was? He had 3 years to get a bunch of bumbling idiots ready to take over the kingdom. You know those 12 disciples. You know all about them. They were really something. They were a real piece of work, those 12 guys, like us. We disciples of Christ, aren't we something? And Jesus knows He has 3 years to get them ready to run the kingdom. We knew He had to walk 20 miles between a lot of His stops. Now, can you imagine that? He was extremely busy. But the disciples, when they see people bringing their children, they're like, "Oh, come on. He doesn't have time for this silliness. He's an important person here. Leave Him alone." But Jesus stops. And this tells us an awful lot about what Jesus thinks about taking time to bless the next generation. That He understood that if you're not about blessing the next generation, you're not good for this generation. He understood the importance of taking them and laying His hands on them and blessing them so that they might be able to pass the blessing on to the next generation that would be there after He was dead and resurrected and ascended to the Father. He understood the importance of being blessed, but to be a blessing. And I know it's so cliche, but that's where we're going today. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I hope that you all embrace that. You know, I just can't help thinking about the people in the balcony right up here. I think that my PPRC chair got in the balcony so she could see my bald spot today. Let me tell you something. I am blessed to have any hair at all. My dad was completely bald. And I'm just so glad that I'm blessed in so many ways Do you know that you're blessed? Do you know that? I think when I woke up in America today, I was blessed. I think when I woke up and I wasn't on the edge of Houston, I was blessed. I think when I woke up and had a toothbrush this morning, in fact, I have a couple of them, I'm blessed. I think when I can flip the switch and turn on the lights, I'm blessed. I think when I see my children in church this morning, I am blessed. I am a blessed man. You are blessed people. We are blessed. And so often we tell ourselves that we're not because we don't have as much as the Johnsons. But friends, we are blessed. We are so incredibly blessed. And we are blessed for a reason. It's not just so that we can be happy and fat. We are blessed to be a blessing. And that's where I want to go this morning. I want to talk about some stories in the Bible that are about blessing. The first story I want to talk about is Hannah and Samuel. Have you ever heard of Hannah? Hannah was the mother of, remember the book in the Old Testament called Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel? Well, his mother's name was Hannah, and she was married to a guy by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. Now, this was kind of common in the Old Testament, although it was never sanctioned by God, and that needs to be said this morning. That was never God's intent. God said a man will leave his mother and father, be bound to his wife. He didn't say a man should be bound to his wives, right? But it happened, because people will do these type of things. People are selfish and want their way and all those kind of things. And it happened to Hannah that her husband Elkanah had another wife. And the other wife was very fertile. And she had children every year like a cow. It was just incredible. Did I just say that? I was a dairy farmer, remember? And any farmer here will tell you, a cow's worthless if she doesn't have a baby every year. But she did. She had children every year. She was growing this big family. And Elkanah, when he would divide up the meat, he would give Hannah a choice portion of meat. But he would give the other wife and her children a whole bunch of meat. And Hannah had a hard time seeing the blessing of getting the choice portion of meat, because the other wife would make fun of Hannah for having no children. So Hannah decides to do the wisest thing that she could possibly do. And anytime you're feeling less than fortunate, here's the thing to do. Go to God. Hannah goes to the temple and she prays. And she is praying so fervently and quietly. She actually gets on her knees and she's praying. And a priest sees her mouth moving. And she's praying so passionately, he doesn't hear the words because she's praying to herself and to God. But the priest thinks she's drunk. And he comes over to her and says, "Lady, don't you know better than to come to temple drunk?" This actually is recorded in the scripture for us. And Hannah says, "I am not drunk. I have come to ask God for a special blessing today." And the priest says, "Well, then may it be done according to what you have asked." And sure enough, a year later, Hannah is a mother. She has a little boy that she names Samuel. Samuel, for God heard her prayer. And Samuel is something that she understands. It's an absolute blessing. But you know how some blessings work? Sometimes you ask God for a blessing, and then you start regretting it, right? "Oh, God, give me this man. I just know this is the man for me. Give me this God." And then God gives you the man, and then you're like, "Oh, man." And we stop treating it like a blessing. And we end up paying the consequences because we treat a blessing of God like it wasn't a blessing but a curse. Sometimes we do this. But Hannah didn't do that. She had promised God that if God gave her a child, that she would give that child back to the kingdom. What a promise, huh? But that's exactly what she did. She kept him for a couple of years, weaned him. In those days, they would nurse for as many as 5-6 years. And then she took her child, and she took him to the temple and gave him to the high priest, Eli, and said, "Here, my son will be now dedicated to God." What an amazing thing to do, to take your child to God and dedicate your child to God and say, "I give my child to Almighty God." What a smart thing to do. And you might think that she was sad when she did it, but she wasn't. This is the great thing about Hannah's story. Remember when in Exodus, when Moses and his sister Miriam crossed the Red Sea? Remember how Miriam broke out in a song? It's called Miriam's Song, and you could go to Exodus and read it. There's also another great song in the New Testament. When Mary finds out that she's pregnant with Jesus, she breaks out in Mary's song. Well, Hannah has her own song. It's recorded there in 1 Samuel, where Hannah breaks out in the song and says, God is a wonderful God. God heard me in my need, and God is awesome, and I get to give my son to God. This is amazing. She's just is praising God for God blessing her. She understood that when you're blessed, you must be a blessing. And you know, it's a good thing that she did that. Because what happened is Eli had two sons who were very evil. Eli, the high priest. And they would have been successors to take over the head of the temple had it not been for Hannah's gift. Because Hannah gave her son back to the kingdom. You know what happened? Samuel was the one who would anoint the first king of Israel. But he went bad, and so God used him to anoint the second king, who was King David, the great ancestor of Jesus the Christ. And it had not been for Hannah's gift, that would have been done by evil priests. You know what? I'm glad for Hannah's gift. I'm glad for Hannah understanding that when you're blessed, you should bless others. The second one I want to talk about is a much better known story, and it's the story of Abraham, Father Abraham, right? You know the song, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, and so are you. You know what? He only had one son to his wife. He had one to another a woman, a handmaiden. But God came to him in Genesis 12 and said, I'm going to bless you. Oh, I'm going to bless you. You may not have any children now, but man, am I going to bless you. I'm going to do it God-sized, okay? Here's what's going to happen. I'm pleased with your life, so I'm just going to pour out blessings so big that you can't even count it. I'm going to give you children. Oh, you're going to have so many descendants, it will be impossible to count them. They'll be like stars in the sky. They'll be like sands of the seashore. It'll be impossible to count them. Abraham must have looked at Sarah. Well, we know that Sarah laughed. In fact, they named her son Isaac because God made Sarah laugh. That's what Isaac means, laughter. Oh, she couldn't believe can you imagine this? This old couple, they're going to be taking Geritol and handing out baby vitamins. But God says, I am going to bless you, and God is up to the task. What seems impossible for man is possible with God. And God gives Abraham a son late in life, and that son is Isaac. God told him, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the nations through you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. And guess what Abraham does? As he's getting older, he brings Isaac to him. And he says, Isaac, God is going to bless you. He's going to make your numbers great. You're going to become a great nation, and you are going to bless the nations. Guess what Isaac does? Isaac calls his sons to him and says, son, you are going to be blessed, but something sinister happened in the midst of it all. You think, how can the blessing ever survive with this kind of parenting? Remember what happened with Isaac and Rebekah? They had twins. The older son was Esau. The younger twin was Jacob. And poor Esau, he was a hardworking, outdoors kind of guy. And Isaac favored him. The other one liked to work around the house, Jacob. So his mother began to favor him. Now, you know that's dysfunctional, right? That's a terrible thing to do. I hope none of you ever do that. You don't have favorite kids, do you? Oh, I hope not. We can never make that awful mistake. That's what Isaac and Rebekah did. It was a tragic mistake. And these two brothers began to have an enmity between the two of them. It was a terrible thing. But in spite of it, as Isaac becomes blind, Rebekah decides to try to get the blessing. But let's not forget that other little detail, that Esau counted his blessing as nothing when Esau decided to trade a bowl of soup for the blessing of God. And so Rebekah takes Jacob and dresses him like Esau. Isaac is blind, and Jacob goes in, and Isaac gives the blessing. He passes the blessing to Jacob and says, Jacob, you are going to become a great nation. You are going to be the master over many. Nations are going to serve you, and you're going to be a blessing to all. Isaac comes in, and we find out that though they were raised in this way, where they were not raised with the blessing because they were constantly being favored by different parents, these two grown sons are so desperate for the blessing that one would trick his father, and the other Esau, when he comes for the blessing, his father says, oh, I already gave that blessing to Jacob. But you're going to serve him, yet a day is going to come where you will break the yoke. And you will get out from under Jacob, and you will become a great nation too. In spite of giving up the blessing of God, Esau will still get blessed because God keeps his promises. So Jacob and Esau get blessed. Jacob has a great family. Oh, he just has this great family. He has 12 of his own. You know, the 12 tribes of Israel, this is where they get their name. Jacob became named Israel. He had 12 children. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. They became so great. And of course, Joseph is part of the mix. Joseph, one of his sons, had two sons that were part of those 12 tribes. But in those days, they called grandsons even sons. And so these 12 become the 12 tribes of Israel. And these 12 tribes of Israel, because of a drought where they're living, they go to Egypt. And they settle in a place called Goshen, which is a very fertile area by the Nile River. And there in the Nile, they multiply like tadpoles. It was amazing. They became so numerous that really you couldn't count them. It was like a million men plus women and children 400 years later when they left the land of Goshen. Boy, did God bless them. Did God keep his promises or what? And you know what? In the midst of that, Jacob says to Joseph, after I die and you leave this place, this beautiful Goshen Valley, God's going to have you leave this place and go to a promised land. And when you leave, you take my bones with you. And you can see him already setting up the blessing for the next generation because it's bigger than Egypt. It's much bigger than Egypt. You will leave Egypt and go to a promised land. And that's exactly what would happen. But what we need to include is from Abraham to David was 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile was 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile until Jesus Christ was born was another 14 generations. And it's parsed out for us like that in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. You know why it's done that way? So that we can get the math. That it's 2 times 7, the perfect number. Double the perfect number. 2 times 7, the perfect number. 2 times 7, the perfect number. Done 3 times, the God number. We get Jesus the Christ. This is how Abraham was to be a blessing to all the nations through his son Jesus Christ. And you talk about a blessing. And that's the whole point of this sermon. That we understand that when God wanted to bless the nations, his choice was to do it through people. He loves to bless people, and he loves to see people bless people. You know why he's like that? Can you imagine if you have multiple children, you understand what I'm talking about. Does anything bring more pleasure to you than to see one of your children bless one of your other children? Have you ever thought about you blessing God because of the way you bless other children? God loves it. This is how God likes to operate. And in fact, when he sends the biggest blessing of eternity, the most wonderful gift, the most incredible person that ever came across the horizon of the earth, in Jesus Christ, how's he do it? With a woman, an earthly woman, and a God as a father. Because he wanted to do it through humanity as much as he wanted to do it through heaven. God loves creation. He molded us together with his own hands. He loves his creation more than we could ever fathom. And when he puts us out here, he wants us to be blessed, and he wants us to be a blessing, to pass the blessing. And I know for some of you, some of you are thinking, I don't know, Pastor, that all sounds good. I would like to be a blessing. But quite frankly, it's pretty hard to bless my children when I wasn't blessed in the household that I grew up in. And I know some of you were not fortunate enough to be raised in a home of blessing. And let's just get real this morning. Your mother and your father were not perfect, were they? Look, my parents weren't perfect. I got to tell you, my mother was wonderful. My mother, you'll hear about her in a little bit. My father, he broke a cycle. You know, his father being an abusive alcoholic. I never watched my father drunk. You know, so our parents, you don't know what they went through. You don't know what kind of homes they came out of. And it's very easy for us to say, oh, my parents really blew it. Or sometimes it's just what we focus on. I'll tell you a true story. I had an associate, my last church before I went in to be a district superintendent. And she was a good person, but she had some problems. And one of her big problems was that she believed that her family hated her. So one day I was talking with her, and I just wanted to delve into it and try to understand and help her through that a little bit. And I just want you to know, this isn't Kathy that I'm talking about. Okay, this was a different pastor. I said to her, tell me about this. And she said, when I was little, they would put me to bed, and then they would all stand around the piano and sing all night while I was in bed. And I said, you were the baby of the family. You needed more sleep. And she had like this, really? You think that's it? And sometimes we just interpret things the wrong way. But sometimes it's real too. And we have to face that reality. What do you do if it's real? What do you do if there was abuse in your family growing up? What do you do if an uncle abused you? What do you do if a grandparent abused you? What do you do about this then? I got good news for you. With God, it's possible. I got good news for you. You can overcome this. I've got wonderful news for you. It is possible to go beyond that. You see, sometimes my father, because of being raised by an abusive alcoholic, he was a very strict disciplinarian. And sometimes he licked us with the belt too hard. And I always discounted that as a man who was raised by an abusive alcoholic who didn't know. But he was doing his best. Or I could have interpreted, my father hates me and does his best to abuse me. Boy, did it get quiet in here. I don't think I ever heard it that quiet. But I never doubted that my dad loved me. What if you did doubt that your mother or father loved you? Then what? Let's get real. You ever hear of Jubilee? Jubilee is this wonderful Old Testament notion of release. It's a marvelous gift. Jubilee is this blessing that just, no matter how ugly it was, can make things right again. Let me tell you about Jubilee. On the seventh year, whatever was wrong was made right. Whatever was upside down was placed right side up. See, in those days, there was slavery. If you ever heard of slavery in the Old Testament, once again, never sanctioned by God, but God did have something that he did sanction. It was called Jubilee. And what would happen in Jubilee on the seventh year, if a person found themselves enslaved to somebody because they had run up a debt and had to be a slave to that person until their debts were paid, or another reason that they became slaves is if they killed someone by accident, that person then would become a slave to that family until they had paid their debt. And you know what happened? God said in Jubilee, they're all released. Yeah, something terrible happened. Yeah, an awful thing happened. But God knew the best thing that could happen is for a year of Jubilee. Friends, I've got to tell you, some families need a Jubilee to just release it. Forgive it. Just release that dead grandparent or dead uncle. Release that person. Release that person to God's blessing. Release that person. It's the best thing that you can possibly do. Live, have your own Jubilee. And friends, if you want to know who's going to heal it all, Isaiah 61 is something that Jesus quoted when he began his ministry. Can we read this together? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be set free. Wow. You know, it's real easy for us to say, I wasn't blessed, so I can't bless others. Helen Keller, if there was ever a person that could say that, Helen Keller was one of those people, born blind and deaf, unable to communicate with anything outside herself. And yet, she would eventually, after she learned an amazing miracle of how to read and write, she wrote this: although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming it. So friends, if you would like a Jubilee in your family, if you would like to overcome some terrible thing that happened in your family, if you would like to be able to pass a blessing to the next generation in spite of the fact that you were not given a blessing, you want to be an overcomer, and you want a Jubilee, and you're saying, I want to, I really do want to, but I don't know how. Pastor, how can I pass a blessing that I didn't experience? Well, I'm glad you asked. I would be delighted to tell you. Because a blessing is a marvelous thing to pass on. And a blessing typically fulfills four felt needs that everybody has. Everybody needs this, and the blessing provides it. And here they are. The first is affection. You know, what you might not realize is that Jesus didn't just lay his hands on their heads and bless them. But we're told in Mark that he actually picked them up in his arms and blessed them. Now, it would have been easier to just say, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, I got to get going. But he didn't do that. He took the time to love on them. This is a blessing when you pass the affection on. You know, I think of Abraham, who knew that he had to not only pass the blessing, but he asked Isaac to come and hug him as he blessed him. That affection. You know, I'm kind of in a funny stage of my life right now. I've got a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 9-year-old that thinks he's 19. And they're getting to that place where it's like, oh, Dad. You know what? Sometimes I got to wrestle them down for a hug. You know why I do it? I don't want them ever wondering if I love them. And I chase them down, and I hug them, and I wrestle them. And, you know, for the most part, they're like kind of okay with it. The 9-year-old especially will push me back because he's, you know, already going to that middle school stage where, oh, geez, I'm cool, too cool for this. But I keep hugging them because I want them to know that they are loved like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants. I love you with a love that will never let you go. They know that. And I want all the families in here to know that. And I hope that you tell them that too. Do you tell them that? Do you tell your children you love them? No matter how old they are, they still need to hear it. I don't care if they're 70 and you're 90. They still need to hear, I love you. It's an incredible gift. I once heard about a guy who got married. His wife many years later said, John, why don't you tell me you love me sometimes? He said, I told you I loved you at the altar rail. If anything changes, I'll tell you. Well, it's funny because it's sick. It's terrible. Please, do not be a father or a mother that has a child that goes to their grave saying, my mom and dad never told me they loved me. Tell them with words. You say, my actions are enough. No, they're not. God gave us ears. We need to hear it. And we need to show it. God tells us, doesn't he? Let's read together Psalm 42:8. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, for God so loved the world. I mean, he could have just gone to the cross and never told us that God so loved the world. We got to say it so they know it. And we need to show it to confirm it. Meaningful touch is the other part. We all sort of already kind of talked about this, about how I tackle my sons and all that, just to make sure that they know they're loved. In the Old Testament, they would always have them come. You see that Jacob asked his son to put his hand under his leg, just to because remember Jacob had the hip problem. He said, come for me here a little bit with my pain. And we know that over and over that they're taking their loved one and they're hugging on them, as imperfect as they were. And boy, these Old Testament patriarchs, they were really something. But they understood, at least this piece, that they needed to pass on a meaningful touch. Friends, you know that Jesus placed his hands on their heads. But do you also know that Jesus placed his hands on lepers? You know why he did that? He didn't need to touch them to heal them. He healed multiple people from a distance. Remember the centurion? Just speak from a distance and my servant will be healed. He understood that Jesus could do that. But Jesus understood the felt need of these lepers. In leprosy, in those places, oh, what a terrible problem you had if you had leprosy. Not only did you have a debilitating disease, but nobody would touch you. In fact, if you came within any distance of anybody, you had to say, unclean, unclean. So Jesus goes to the lepers and he touches them because he knew that's what they needed. I know in these days of HIPAA laws and safe sanctuaries and all that stuff, there's an awful lot of pushback about how we treat the elderly and such when we're visiting them. Let me tell you, elderly, as a pastor, when I come and visit you, I'm going to hold on to your hand and take your shoulder and I'm going to hug you. I'm going to do whatever you want. Because I think that's important. Remember, a lot of these people in these care homes, their spouse is gone. In many cases, their children have moved away. And if there were ever people that needed to know the touch to be blessed, it's these people. So please, will you go and visit grandma or your aunt or your uncle or whatever? Will you please make sure they get a hug before you get out of there? And tell them, I love you. And show them with your expressions and bless them. Bless them as much as you can. Finally, there needs to be aggressive acceptance. And this is where you're going to hear about my mother. I can say, I never doubted my mom loved me. In fact, I believed I was special. I did. I really believed I was special. My mom told me I was special. She said, Bill, you're so special. You're special. Turns out my mom had a special stamp. She told all my siblings they were special too. I didn't know that was going on until we got older. It's like, Mom always said I was special. She told me I was special too. But boy, did she know how to discipline. You know how she disciplined? Oh, Bill, you. I can't believe a boy like you would do that. I'm surprised. Really? Oh, you're too good for that. Boy, was that good parenting. She built me up. I knew I had acceptance, even though I wasn't perfect. And this doesn't mean that we approve of things. You heard that. She didn't approve of some of my actions, right? But I never doubted that she accepted me. I think of David. I think of Isaac. I think of Jacob, I think of Abraham, I think of all these Old Testament patriarchs who, in spite of all their imperfections, were accepted. Did you notice when Jesus blessed the children, he didn't treat them like he was Santa Claus? He didn't say, now, have you been a good little boy this year? You been a good little girl? Okay, then I'm going to bless you. God's way better than Santa Claus. You know what God does? He didn't ask them any background. He didn't ask them what kind of family they were from, what race they were, where they'd been, who they played with. He just said, I want to bless you. And he laid his hands on them, took them in their lap, and blessed them. That's aggressive acceptance. That's what needs to happen in every single family. Too often in this society, friends, we just discard people so quickly and easily. It's sickening. In this society, we create these celebrities and politicians, and we raise them up, and then they do one imperfect act, and what do? Pah! Right? What happened to 70 times 7 and forgiveness? Whatever happened to it? And the saddest thing about that is we've taken it from our celebrities and politicians and brought it into our families. That must stop. There's got to be aggressive acceptance. How much should we accept each other? Well, we get our answer. Of course, all the answers are found in the Scripture. Romans 15, verse 7. Let's read it. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Just as Christ has accepted you. Well, that sort of takes all the bets off the table, doesn't it? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Though I sinned 70 times 7, God forgave me. That's how we accept one another. And finally, there's got to be a vision of a bright future. Oh, man. A blessing. Yes, it is a word of affirmation. It's a word of love. It's a word of acceptance. But it's got to present a bright future. And this is what we see when God gives his blessing to Abraham, right? God blesses him and he says, oh, I'm going to make you so great. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. You wait to see what I'm about to do. I'm about to do an amazing thing. I am about to make you a great nation. It's going to be 400 years till that happens. But he gives him that bright future. And Abraham lives and dies with that bright future. You know, I think of every time that we see this blessing passed on, like, God's going to make you great. You're going to be a leader over nations. You're going to go into a promised land. You're going to go into a land full of milk and honey. You are going to be blessed. We come to the New Testament and we see Paul just time after time pouring out blessing. Now may God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. Oh, may our God be gracious unto you. May God complete everything that he's begun. We just see this blessing time and time and time again, saying, receive this bright future. Friends, I hope you tell your children and your grandchildren, and if you're blessed enough, great-grandchildren, oh, I just believe God's going to do something great through you. I wouldn't be surprised if you could come up with a cure for cancer, be a great mother or father. I just know that God's going to use you to do a mighty thing. Wouldn't that be a great thing to tell your children? Friends, we're about to embark on this fall campaign where we are going to be blessing children like crazy. Thursday nights, starting in September, we're going to be working with these children. And we're going to be having our program for the children and all the services. And boy, I'm praying that we as a congregation can bless these kids. We need to pass on the blessing. We were so fortunate. Our mothers and fathers or somebody that loved us took us to church and introduced us to Jesus Christ, changed our lives. There's a whole bunch of children being raised in homes where they don't know that. They know nothing about that. We're going to do something about that. We're going to pass on the blessing. We're not doing any record checks or background checks or family checks. We're just going to invite them in. We're going to see what God can do when we put it in God's hands. Amen? Let us pray. Dear God, we commit all of our ways to you. we call on your blessing upon this congregation. And I would just invite couples that are sitting together, families that are sitting together, to just take your hands and receive this blessing. God, I pray your blessing on these families. These families who have brought their families to church to receive your blessing, Lord. God, bless these families. I pray for healing for past mistakes and hurts. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill these families with your grace and your peace, that your blessing would flow to them and their descendants, to the thousandth generation, Lord. We pray that you would bless their families. Bless them, make them to become great families that are a blessing to others. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed use these families, every single family that's represented here today, Lord. We invite you to take full possession of them. Use them to your glory. God, we pray that you would be glorified because of these families. We pray for families that are going through current hurt, whether there's fractures, or maybe in some cases where there's just illness or dementia and these types of things. And I know there are people like this sitting right here among us who have a burden today because of the parent that they love is going through these end-of-life issues. And God, I pray your blessing upon them, not only on their parents, that if it be possible that they could be made well again, but also on the children and grandchildren who are grieving the loss of their parents. We pray, Lord, that you would take everything that was good about those parents who were unable to be the people that they were, that God, you would give a double portion of that spirit to their children and grandchildren, that the blessing would pour forth in generation after generation. So God, we ask that you would bless the children that are going to be coming to this church on Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, and the youth that will be meeting as well. And we just pray, Lord, that you would work in marvelous ways in their lives. That God, for the ones who are coming out of broken homes and messed up homes, that they would find wholeness here. We pray that you would enable us to share that beauty with each. And God, we pray for those in Texas, that God, you would deliver them from the storm, that you would bring them through the storm. Sometimes you help us to escape storms, and sometimes you carry us through them. And we know this is one storm that many people are going through. But we call on you, Lord, to calm the storm and to calm the child and the adults that are caught in the storm. God, please bless them. Grant safety to all the volunteers and legal authorities and government authorities. God, we just pray that you would work through all of them to bless these families and use us, Lord, to bless them as well. We pray that you would stir up among many churches this morning a desire to create a mission trip to go and to bless these people in the recovery. So God, we just pray your blessing on all of this today. We welcome you. And Lord, be glorified through it. In Christ's name, amen. Now God bless you and keep you. May God extend your family to wonderful blessings. May God, who has the ability to do infinitely and abundantly more than you could ever hope or dream, may he do it for you and your family. I'm going to be praying for that. It's going to be a fervent prayer on behalf of each one of you, that God will bless your families.